Hello and welcome to We the People. I'm Gargi Rawat. Now, the Supreme Court has reserved its verdict on a PIL challenging India's adultery law. Currently, according to the 157-year-old section 497 of the IPC, a man can be punished up to 5 years in prison for having an affair with a married woman if it was without her husband's permission. As it stands, the woman in the case cannot be punished as she isn't viewed as an active agent, rather as a man's property. Also, married women do not have the same right to file criminal charges against their husband if he is the one having an affair. Now, the government has asked the court not to change the law but make it gender neutral to protect the sanctity of marriage, while the National Commission for Women has asked it to be made a civil offence as it's between two individuals. While the court's final decision is awaited, the justices have already observed the law is anti-women and that it's archaic. This issue must also be looked at in relation to privacy, which the Supreme Court itself has ruled is a fundamental right. So today we take a look at some of the issues this case has raised in an age when relationship landscapes have changed. The conventional labels may no longer apply. Should adultery even be a crime at all? Now joining us today on the show, Madhu Mehra, lawyer and activist who is involved in the PIL challenging the adultery law. V.K. Biju, a Supreme Court advocate. Also Dr. Nisha Khanna, psychologist and marriage counsellor. Ira Trivedi, whose book India and Love captures some of these issues we're talking about today. Kamal Farooqi, member of the All India Muslim Personal Law Board, and father of Freddie D'Souza from St. Alphonsa's Church. Also Shalini Kocher, author, blogger and founder of Women on Top Forum. Also joining us from San Diego, Rohit Juneja, author and relationship coach. Now, first, I'd like to start with you, Madhu. Now, this is an issue that has been brought to the Supreme Court three times before. And before that, the justices, when dealing with this case, seem to treat the women as victims and that they're not the active agent when it comes to adultery. But this time around, it's been very different, the kind of observations we've got from the Supreme Court.
That's true. The previous challenges were mostly around the whole issue of discrimination, in that the law didn't allow the wife to prosecute the husband or the husband's lover. And so gender neutrality was the contested issue. But we're at a time today when sexual autonomy is center stage, both in terms of how we define the criminal law amendment, the definition of consent that came in 2013, as well as Puttaswamy and then the Hadia matter. So we have to recognize if sexual autonomy stands as the cornerstone of the right to life, as one of the important elements of the right to life, then surely it's not something that operates only in the domain of sexual violence.
So the difference also between societal morality or what is considered immoral vis-a-vis legally what is allowed by an individual, what the rights are.
Because as the IPC stands today, it's not just the laws on sexual violence are not the only laws which pertain to sexuality. A lot of punitive laws exist which penalize sexual expression, consensual adult sexual expression. One of them is this provision of adultery, which is 497, but there's also 498, which is enticing away a married woman, where you don't even need to demonstrate a relationship has happened. It could be with the intent. So the mere walking away of a woman or having a male companion would attract any of these provisions.
These are all Victorian age laws, isn't it? And you're of the view that these laws, the law shouldn't even be coming into our bedrooms per se.
Well, these the laws should come into our bedrooms if there's domestic violence.
Sure, of course.
So there are certain benchmarks which have been set both internationally and constitutionally for law to come into the bedroom. But
in fact, that is the law we do need, perhaps, marital rape.
Yes,
of course.
And in 1860, when the law was being, when Macaulay was in the process of drafting the law, he was not of the view that adultery should be made a criminal offense. Under common law, adultery was only a civil offense.
And it still got put under as a criminal offense, even though he didn't approve of it. He felt it wasn't something that was relevant to Indian society.
Well, it was relevant, but according to Macaulay,
Well, he felt men of a certain class would never approach the courts because it would bring shame to their families.
Kill their wives instead or leave their wives to commit suicide.
And people of lower economic status, for them a wife wasn't so much as something bringing shame. It was more losing somebody who worked in the house. So they just
Absolutely.
Want some monetary compensation.
So there was a monetary compensation, and it was brought in essentially because under the personal laws, it was very difficult to prove adultery. And remember, this is of the vintage when husbands were allowed to have as many wives as they wanted to, not to mention girlfriends over and above that. So it's clearly of a vintage where women were property. And, you know, the phrase about Caesar's wife that we invoke to demonstrate propriety explains exactly what adultery was about. It was not even about a relationship. It was really if a woman stepped out of the private domain without the permission of the husband, you could invoke anything because merely glancing at a man was considered.
And that's also something that's problematic because the way the law stands currently, if the husband approves, then it's all right. And that's something the Supreme Court justices have also talked about. Mr. Biju, you come in here. You hold a very different opinion. Why do you think it should remain a criminal offense?
See, I agree up to some extent with madam, and I have a caveat again because of judgment reserved.
Sure.
There was, because I am practicing very much there only. Number one. Number two, there were so deep arguments already made by both the parties, now judgment is reserved. Now, madam is saying that there is some kind of that female issue, some adultery, etc., etc. But many foreign judgments are there, adultery is illegal, etc., etc.
But there are many we have to think we are in India.
India is having a tradition, a history, and therefore that marital sanctity has to be there. So I fully endorse the very opinion of the central government made in the court. So number one. Number two, once man is
that
punished.
That is the center's position. So you're saying you support the center's position.
Of course. Was somebody who the called me for this interview, I asked, what is your opinion? I asked, so are you able to come and stay somewhere like that? No, sir. So therefore, we are having a tradition. We are having a history. We are having a marital sanctity. Suppose, what is living together? What about the children? Who will protect the children?
But sir, we can't deny that these sort of relationships also exist. It's a changing landscape as far as relationships in India go. But at the point we're making here, should it be a criminal offense? It's a matter between two individuals. It's not something that harms society. So let it be a civil case, as the National Commission for Women has said.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be a ground for divorce. It can be, etc. But what is the problem is this. My personal view that 497 can be amended to some extent, and both are punished.
Bring gender neutrality. Yeah,
to be some extent can be amended, but going everything and stuck down everything will be having far-reaching consequence in our society. Our society did not reach up to that level to think. Can't go anywhere. Can't have anything.
But sir, how much is this law even used? Is it even used that much in court by couples, by men?
Everywhere, everything have exceptions happening something.
It is an
which means we can't give it a license very openly.
It's not giving a license. Society frowns upon infidelity, upon adultery. Let's face it, to a certain extent in India, of course everybody frowns upon it. It is considered a sin by most of the major religions. So that remains. But should we have this legal provision that makes it criminal?
Ma'am, what is the ingredients of Section 497? Sexual intercourse. Lady must be somebody's wife, and penetration should be there. Semen can be disposed of, etc. This is the main ingredients. And with the consent or not consent, that forget it.
We are going to agree on this and ask the center, what do you feel? You're talking about sanctity of marriage, but here you're saying that if the husband agrees, then where is the sanctity of marriage? So the justice has also commented on
that's
this.
That's what we can't compel to all the family or to do whatever you want. Cannot. We can't reach. We didn't reach up to that level to think that Western style. So therefore, No, yes, absolutely.
All right.
But this is what somebody argued for the Supreme Court also. So we can't give it simply, blindly the license to do whatever you want. We are in India. We are having a culture. We are having a tradition. We are having a history. That's why when your people called me for this particular session, I asked, what is your opinion? He said, sir, I can't think about this. And I am sure Gargi cannot think about it.
I'm agreeing that we can't, maybe many of us don't think about it and we look, we don't condone obviously adultery or infidelity, but we're still asking the issue of privacy as Madhu was saying there. But Ira, you come in here as somebody who's actually traveled across the country, you've gone to small towns, you know, we don't want to say this is only a big town issue. What were your findings when Mr. Biju's talking about, you know, we cannot condone this, it will cause ruptures in society or sanctity of marriage must be upheld?
Mr. Biju, I must say that I'm not sure how much you researched this space, but for my book, I interviewed around 600 people across the country. And my biggest discovery, I would say, or the biggest shock factor for me was really the biggest shock factor was just the sheer number of people whose thoughts on sexuality, on sexual behavior were changing. And it's really a very vast number. So I don't think the India of today is really as traditional or conservative as we think it is. In fact, there really are two Indias. There's the India of our parents and grandparents' generation, and then there's this young India of today who has very different views on love, on marriage, on sex, completely different than so many generations before them. So we really are going through a sexual revolution, and in this sexual revolution, these laws are not applicable. You know, criminal laws on adultery in which only the man is punishable, okay, in a way it's good for women, you know, so in case if it's the other way around.
You talk about women as property.
It's kind of saving women, because if she's an adultress, then hey, nothing's going to happen to her.
But you know? The women can't, if her husband strays or is the one who's being adulterous, she cannot file a case against him or the woman he's cheating with.
It's a two-edged, double-edged sword. So on that other sense, she can't really do anything about it either. But in essence, this law is patriarchal, as you mentioned. It really does say that, hey, women are the property of men and they can't seem to make their own decisions. So it's a very antiquated law. And what I actually find very disappointing about the whole thing is the Supreme Court of India reserved their judgment. You know, what does that even say? That they reserved their judgment. They were basically cowards. They didn't want to offend anyone. They didn't want to say anything about this.
Well, we don't know the reason why they reserved their judgment. And there are several judgments that they reserve and then they decide to announce it at a later date.
That the right to privacy is completely contrary to this. And 377, so again, many of these laws for me demonstrate that we really are in the middle of a very changing landscape when it comes to sexuality. It's a whole new world in India. It really is. You know, it really, really is. And we do have people on both sides of the fences. And that's why there's such a clash. That's why there's such a war.
If they made this law gender neutral, is that something that
you think
was acceptable?
I mean, that would perhaps be slightly better, but there should be no law at all. You know, adultery is a private issue. It's your own decision if you decide to be with someone or not be with someone. Yes, I realize that marriage, according to Hinduism, is sacred, etc., etc. But if you can divorce your husband, if you can take your own... if you can take your decision to marry someone, then you should be able to take your own decision to marry someone else as well, to leave that marriage. If you decide to marry, you should be able to leave that marriage. You can decide to have sex with whoever you want. And so I do think that the government imposing their own views
that we don't feel it should be criminalized doesn't mean we condone adultery or infidelity.
It's actually undemocratic.
Tell us your view on this.
It's completely undemocratic. It's completely against the right to privacy, which is a fundamental right of every single citizen
of
India.
Yes.
So I believe that these laws should all be completely kicked out of, you know, not the bedroom, but just kicked out in general.
Faruqi Saab.
I do not know what kind of India we are aiming at, in fact. And we are simply trying to follow the so-called modernization of the whole thing, wherein there is no... respect for the relationship and all those kind of things.
Actually,
to me, at least,
I don't agree with you.
Maybe, but
let him make his point.
Please, when you were talking, I was not speaking.
Okay.
This is your, this, it's already started working, okay?
Yes.
So.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
So what I'm trying to tell you, the other thing, clarification which I want to make, in fact, I'm not the spokesperson of All India Muslim Personal World. In my individual capacity,
sure.
I'm having all these kind of impressions. So as far as Islam is concerned, Islam is very specific about it, that we cannot think of any sexual relationship outside the wedlock. And the law is applicable to both the men and women. I agree to this extent that 497, it is really, it is an addition to my knowledge when I went through the whole thing, that only the man is being punished, not the women. To me, even both of them, if they are going out of the wedlock, they should be punished about the whole thing. And the other thing is, in fact, that then there would not be any end to a whole thing, and there would be absolutely.
But sir, you think you need it to be a crime? It needs.
It is a crime.
A criminal.
It is a crime.
When, case.
When you are, listen, when you are entering into a contract,
it's between two people, and you have a remedy. You have divorce. You can divorce
yes,
the person
divorce.
Who's cheating
you
on you, who's,
but,
who's
but before
committing
divorce.
Adultery.
Yes, yes, you are absolutely right. And be it is the man or the woman, the relationship should go, because they have no right. Because they, when they are having a wedlock, they have a contract. They are breaking that contract, and this, whenever you break the contract, there are some punishment for that contract. In so, as far as the society is concerned, it will be better off, whether be it Hindu or Christian and Muslims or even the modern society is concerned. There has to be the importance of the
but
relationship.
Sir, we're not saying that it's all right, but we're saying there's no need to criminalize it, and it's a civil issue it's not something that's harming society
tomorrow,
at large.
Then tomorrow there is no rule of law. But it means a relationship, okay. For the
no,
timing,
I don't think,
for
I timing, don't think I'm, that, that's sir, how it's going
on,
to
hold
work.
On. For the timing, I'm
I mean, how much is this law
for,
even
for the
used?
Timing, I'm marrying, but let me go, have it there.
But let's be more specific. What is your experience been, and what are your views on this?
I'm in practice from last 17 years. I counsel more than 15,000 people, and every day I deal with relationship or marital disputes. In those cases, if you'll ask me, if you have dealt with 3,500 cases or more than that, out of 3,400 cases of adultery only. I'm really sorry, you people would be surprised. It's not only about a relationship, it is ancestral relationship also, even the on family members or even outside. And it is not a men is doing, the women are doing equally. Even when you talk about the
sure.
affair thing is also, not the these days the men is having an affair, the woman is equally. If you're asking me the percentage, I will say 45% women are these days having an extramarital affair. The men are having 55%. The ratio is more or less similar. When you talk about I'm in a favor, it should not be criminalized. Why so? Because when I get into the cases and the deep history of them, I found they have the psychological issues. Either they have the marital incompatibilities. The issues are there, the hidden issues which they never resolved it out. Either there is a sexual incompetencies, there are communication problems, there are conflict resolutions. Suppose the one partner is very dominating, especially if you talk about a male or either or a female. I'm not talking about the gender basically, but why the people are doing all these things. Because if you give somebody a punishment, you will see why you are giving this particular punishment. Whether this person will get the life imprisonment or either a death, hang till death or a 2 years or 3 years. So you get into the causes of that. So causes is emotional instability. Most of the time I seen the people who are going through the adultery cases, the one partner who is going through and getting into that. And sometimes I meet with the other partner or the person to whom they have the affair also. I call that particular
right.
person again in their getting into the married life of that person. For example, if a woman is dating or slept with some men and the man is already married. So sometimes I met with both the families.
So you meet all parties?
All the partners or either two people are coming to me, they are into different marriages. And they are also having a relationship. So it's like, if you see all these cases, I found it, there are the psychological reasons behind
it. Did you find many of these people, do they want to file criminal charges?
There are very few numbers who are want to, because it is very common phenomena. When you are talking about what is an Indian marriage, I say, if you go to any Indian marriage, adultery is very much common. If you ask me, as per my experience, out of 100 marriages, 99% marriage have adultery issues. Whether it is a male
really,
or a female.
Do you think it's that high?
I'm sorry, because the case is coming to me. That is what I am talking about.
Okay, these are the cases.
And it is not about only talking about Delhi. I am talking about international level, because I deal with marital issues or relationship issues. It's very common, and we are talking about Indian marriages, so sanity. It is not that. We are keeping the marriage for the sake of society, for the sake of kids. If you talk about these, we should need to handle those issues when the issues start up. If they have the conflict in the initial of the marriage, later on 20 years down the line, I've seen those cases where in the age of 65, the person is having in this adultery problem, which he never happened in last 40 years.
So all right, though, according to statistics, a few research internationally, 75% people around the world find extramarital affairs morally unacceptable, and 62% of Indians do as well. But Father D'Souza, you come in here, what is your view on criminalizing it? Yes, we're not. Nobody here is saying it may not be wrong, and it's something that it's a problem, or people may look down upon it. Society looks down upon it.
But are all of you saying no? It is not wrong.
Or what?
Some people
be careful. It's definitely not wrong at all.
Be careful when you are making that statement.
It's not wrong.
What I am saying is
wrong or not wrong.
What I'm saying is it may be wrong, but the criminal aspect of it, is that something you feel is required?
I'll come to that. Thank you very much. When the church considers that marriage is sacred, and we believe that is very much integrated with the very creation itself, that right. God created male and female in the image and likeness of God, and that they have been asked to be procreators. So the sanctity of the marriage is such that they are called to be procreators, and the sexual relationship can take place only in the context of a marriage, within the marriage. Now, anything that takes place outside, obviously, for us in the church, we consider as a deviation and is wrong. Okay, now, from that perspective, whether it is women or men, both are equally held accountable, and both are punishable, if at all. Both are held to be accountable.
Punishable in what sense?
Now, let me come to that.
Of sinning and
I would consider this, that what is sin need not be criminal. I would say there are two extreme views here. One view is that absolutely it is like you can allow, do what you like. That one view can be. Another can be. Hang them and make them kind of a criminal people. I would say there are two extreme views. We need something that, consider a view which is sort of helping people rather than sort of making them criminals. But however, having said that, I would still hold the view that we will hold the marriage as a sacred. We will hold that relationship should be within the context of the marriage. On that, we will not dilute. But nevertheless, there are some issues of that kind. We will see that we take a lenient view and help such people. So a between stand would be more ideal.
All right. That's quite a way of looking at it. You're saying you would like to mediate and help these people. And at the same time, you don't agree that it necessarily needs to be a criminal charge. In cases of adultery,
it need not be a criminal charge.
Even though, let's face it, all major religions, yes, whether it be Islam, Hinduism, Christianity, they all consider adultery a sin. Society at large, as I just read those statistics, considers wrong. But Shalini, you come in here. You've heard everybody talking about this issue. As somebody who's a businesswoman, you run your own forum, a blogger, author. What do you feel about these issues?
It was quite interesting when I was invited to the show, because I thought it was a very interesting topic. So I do believe in the sanctity of marriage, but I think it's invasion of privacy. Because today, if you were to actually look around you, there is societal growth. And 90%, I don't know whether it's 99%, but at least 90% of the people, everybody is having an affair. Let's look around us. Let's be honest. And it's all okay with the laws, etc. But I want to know who are the laws applied to. Because the upper class gets away. They all You know, they get rich, they get these 25-year-old girlfriends and they flaunt them and they're totally happy. And the wives are the trophy wives and they are like, okay, we are used to this lifestyle. So we're not giving up this lifestyle. So it's all right, never mind, you know. Let's like look beyond it and let's maintain our lifestyle. The lower class, my God, they just like flip from one home to another. And let's just look at our maids and drivers.
Don't you think that's a very broad generalization there?
Yeah, there is a broad, but let's look at it. The only people getting... getting subjected to the laws is the middle class, right? Yes. And it is happening all over the place. Everybody is cheating. Human beings are not monogamous. We are all looking for excitement. How can you make it a criminal offense? It's an invasion on my privacy. It's all right. Sanctity of marriage is my upbringing. I've been with my husband now for 25 years. It's a choice I'm making. And it's a choice because I love him and I want to be with him. But you're not going to tell him if he's not giving me what I want and you're telling me now you do deal with this, or if he's an MCP, you deal with this. No, I can't probably break away because I'm brought up in an Indian environment and marriage is the be-all, end-all of life. So I'm going to take whatever the shit I'm getting, but I'm not going to go and find that happiness outside.
All right, Mr. Vijusi, what Shalini is saying is, of course, nobody's saying we don't believe in sanctity of marriage, but you're just saying let's not criminalize this, as make it a criminal offense. 5 years in jail, what is the need? It's between a couple. There is a civil remedy. There's divorce there, but why make it a criminal offense? That is what we're saying. We're not saying we're all right with adultery or infidelity.
Yeah. Thank you for that question. Before that, Shalini's question that Nisha, Dr. Nisha made some observations that her experience about 55%, 45% and international issues. I'm also a mediator of the Supreme Court Bar Association. I'm dealing with many couples because of so many issues. So I never saw that this is the only problem because of people are coming in problem. Just imagine, now come to issue of Shalini's some ways. Just think if 497 is not there. In IPC, what McCullough adopted, 497 is not there.
But
it remains a civil offense and it remains something that society looks down on. We have to have some kind of regulations. Some kind of regulation according to the Indian custom system and tradition. So we can't project some international issues and implicate into the Indian society. And Indian society did not reach up to that level, number one. Number two.
I'm sure when you were talking, we were hearing you.
Therefore, ma'am, my point is very simple that what this Faruqi and Mr. Father said, that some kind of regulation because of to keep and protect the marital sanctity, because it's a contract between two people and for all the communities, whether it is Hindu, Christian, Muslim, whatever it is. And that sanctity has to be protected. It can be 5 years issue. It may be for 1 year. It can be some other regulation. But according to me, something must be there. It can be altered or amend the section. But the section itself is going, our society will lead to some other way.
I don't think so, because again we come back, it's an archaic law. How much is it used at all? But before I'd like to go to Rohit, who's been listening to everybody here. And Rohit is someone who's been in a marriage, and then you've experimented in your polyamorous relationship. And as somebody who's a life coach, what is your opinion on this? You've heard some of the panelists speaking about how if this law is done away with, it we'll see Indian society, it'll affect Indian society. What do you think?
Well, let's start from the very beginning, if I may. Actually, marriage was invented around 10,000 years ago. Prior to that, we lived in tribes. And in those tribes, there was no such thing as marriage. Everyone slept with everyone. The truth of the matter is, and this has been studied again and again, that human beings are by nature non-monogamous. So then 10,000 years ago, we started agriculture. From agriculture came property. From property, people wanted to make sure that their property was inherited, that it was inherited by their own children. So they wanted to safeguard the laws of inheritance. Those were created. Once that came into place, we invented the concept of marriage. So really, it was for that very purpose that marriage was invented. Then religion backed it up. Now, the fact of the matter is, adultery has been happening since the beginning of time. For all the people who talk of Bharatiya culture and so on and so forth. Let me point out, Kunti was an adulteress. So many of the people in our Bharatiya culture were involved in adultery, but it was never criminalized. So let's get off our high horse about that. Likewise, even during the time of Christ, there was an adulteress who was brought up to Christ. They were going to stone her to death. And he said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. You see, this punishing of people who have been adulterous has also been going on until today. It exists. I think there may be about 9 countries where women can be killed for having cheated or being adulterous, but not men. Never men. They've been given the
blanket permission. So here we have a case where the man is punished, but not the woman. In India, we have a law in which the man is punished, not the woman.
But it's for the woman's adultery.
They'll always punish the
man,
not the woman.
So it's regulating the woman, really.
The point I'm trying to get at is that adultery has existed since the beginning of time. But every spiritual teacher has talked about compassion. Compassion being to look at what we come across as a coach, as a relationship therapist. I come across this all the time, what was being said earlier. The majority of people today are having affairs, whether you like it or not. You're not going to change it by bringing about laws and making it criminalized. You need to take that money, just as, for example, Portugal did when it came to drugs. Now, they've had this war on drugs all over the world, trying to fight the whole drug culture. They've not been able to defeat it. Similarly, you will not defeat adultery. You can't criminalize it and stop it. You need compassion. You need counseling. You need help. You need to get to the bottom of the matter. You need to solve it there. And you don't solve it by criminalization is just this cheap way of being able to, you know, throw people into jail just because they did something wrong. Excuse me, that doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah. All right, very interesting view there. And again,
completely right.
Right.
No, I do want to come in because we keep saying that there's something sanctimonious about there's sanctity of the family. And, you know, the very people who talk about sanctity of the family have no compunctions with maintenance law never being enforced, women being abandoned, deserted without any resources, the absence of matrimonial economic rights. So a man literally, you know, decides, whether he wants to abandon her, whether he wants to allow her access to the resources which he controls. So none of this really affects the sanctity of the family. These things only come in when women seek protection against domestic violence and a degree of autonomy. Now, is this law used? Yes, it is used very frequently. Never to restore family relations. Only to evade alimony and maintenance upon divorce. Because you don't have to prove it, there need not be conviction. You just file a case at the time you're initiating a divorce proceeding, because alimony and maintenance are also contingent upon chastity of a woman, of a wife. So essentially,
so you're saying it's misused by men often?
It's not, the design of the law was one. The intention of the law was not to protect the family. The intention of the law was to allow the husband complete control over the woman's reproduction and labor. And, you know, exactly what we just heard. And in the Indian context, with the caste being very important, you have to ensure purity of caste. So if a woman transgresses, if a woman's sexuality is not controlled...
But a woman can't be punished. It's only the man who can be punished.
Well, you certainly shame her.
And in fact, earlier
you
when this came to the Supreme Court, the justices said we want to provide... the reason we don't want to punish the woman is to provide a way for the woman and the man
It's not used like that.
When you for the better of society.
True, it's not used like that. And the very fact that a woman's adultery is prosecuted shows that it's her transgression that is being regulated, punished, and controlled. If every man or male acquaintance or friend who is her source of support...
But how is the woman being prosecuted? That's one of the issues with the law.
Because her actions are being... the prosecution come... You know, her actions are the basis of prosecution. So she loses anybody she's close to... is going to be put behind bars, and that does shame her. So there are countries
blackmail, you're saying, or
Well, you do end up shaming a person because she is the subject of the litigation. She may not be going to jail, but she is the subject of the litigation. Her actions, the state is lending its police power to control her sexual autonomy.
All right. Well,
I would like to add what she was saying. I will say, if the man wants to do this adultery case on another man, I observe that they will say, I am doing some ahsan, like, okay, now I am accepting you. You did a sin and now I am accepting you. I have an upper hand now. Because you are wrong. They will take the mobiles. You have now, you won't join a job. You won't join a business. You can't go out of the house.
Used to control the women.
That's control. It is not coming into the public, but it is in the family, or either she does this, so I am behaving like this. So I am a saint who is accepting my wife who did the sin. So this is somewhere the culture. Who
are doing?
And the mobile phone concept is quite crazy.
Because, what do you mean by that?
Because that whole story of in the night when the, you know, the wife is sleeping or the husband is sleeping, getting the thumbprint or doing the face recognition. I mean, it's just gone to another level. So this infidelity story is, you know,
suspicious spouses there. But
absolutely.
Faruqi Saab, as they're talking about the way the law is misused.
I would like to respond to Rohit, in fact.
Women.
He said, about the drugs and whatnot. So what is his suggestion? We should not have any criminal case against all those people who are supplying the drugs or who are using the drugs.
He has specifically mentioned.
I have to respond. Number one. Number two. I am very strongly against using it against the women or not using it. It should be both for anybody who is indulging into it, whether it's a man or woman.
All right. Well, let's go to the audience here and ask everybody. So. Who all feel it should remain a criminal offence? Adultery should remain a criminal offence?
Yes,
one person.
Behind you.
One person.
All
there's
right,
one
you think
person.
It should remain?
For
tell
the
us
wife
why you
alone.
Think so.
Only
that.
One person.
Only one person.
That's all right. Let's hear his opinion. I think it's very brave of him.
Okay, so basically the panelists, most of them, they are saying that it's only between two individuals.
Right.
But if we come to the Indian context, the Indian culture, marriage is not only between these two people. The whole society, it's a way of joining these two families. So infidelity, it again affects not only these two individuals, but also the whole society. It corrupts the society.
So you feel that is how it affects society?
Who all here think infidelity
or adultery is wrong?
I mean,
come on.
I think infidelity is completely wrong.
People do think it's wrong, but many people don't think it needs to be punished. So.
I want to reply back to him.
All right, let's get one opinion here. Yes, you were agreeing with many of the panelists. What do you feel?
I feel nobody can come into my bedroom and give me a moral lecture. It's all circumstantial. What I might think 2 years back, one of my best friend, she got married, arranged marriage, and Papa ki marzi se. Okay, good. I respect her decision. But on her wedding night, she realized she was married to a gay. Now, within 3 days, they were into that panchayat and all those, whatever caste she belonged to. And it was a big mockery of the girl without no fault of hers. And now she
is
willing to...
You will get easily divorced. That is
it's not about being divorced. It's cheating.
Best ground for divorce.
Kindly let me finish my question.
So not
question
adultery
is
the answer.
Kindly let me finish my question.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
The girl was 28 years old. And now she started questioning herself and she started comparing her life to all the other females who had their share, or maybe they were sleeping before the marriage, or they had some relationship before the marriage. And she thought, she went into that depression, ma'am, thinking, I should have tried something before my marriage, before this nonsense happened in my life.
All right, that's an interesting point to make. And I mean, I'm sure she was depressed,
depressed because
of her circumstances. But Ira, the young man here, he said that it is, you know, we're talking about whether it should be a civil offense or a criminal offense, because it's not something that affects society. It's something between two individuals. So let it be a civil offense and it could be dealt with through divorce or in the court between two individuals. But the young man here feels that, it's something that corrupts society and therefore it should remain
criminal. He mentioned the word Indian culture. He mentioned this word, and I feel like this word culture, especially Indian culture, is always thrown at us. It's not part of Indian culture. Infidelity
and
is not part of
more than men.
You know, it's kind of like, what is Indian culture? I sometimes want to ask. The whole definition of culture is that culture is always changing. You know, culture doesn't remain stagnant. There is no such thing as a Indian culture because we're all changing along with it. you know, points of views of changing. As Rohit mentioned, 10,000 years ago, there was no concept of marriage. Till 200 years ago, no, not even two, till even 150 years ago, around the world, love, marriage did not exist.
She's talking something absolutely incorrect.
Love, marriage did not exist. So what does that mean?
Absolutely incorrect she's talking about.
No, I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry.
I believe.
Okay, I'm telling you. She said 200 years ago. I can tell you. Listen. Love marriage. I'm telling you.
All right, sir. So let's
start. I'm telling you about the religions. Right from Abraham, right from Jesus Christ, Prophet Muhammad. 1500 years
ago.
That's absolutely the same kind of a rule is there.
No.
So, you agree or don't agree, but don't talk make a generalized comment. It is not agreed.
Don't make it.
It is there. It is there in the books. And what my Rohit friend is saying,
we're talking about changing relationships when he has spoke about Indian culture.
For the last 600 years have got
there are many different relationships now. Yes. There are many gay couples as well.
Relationships should
are changing
anywhere.
Across India, not just in
and
Mumbai
I
and
that
Delhi.
We're all adults.
You know, one woman, let's get Varun in here. He's somebody,
we're all adults.
You know,
make our own decisions about
all right. Well, I'd like to get Varun here, and he's somebody who runs a forum for polyamorous couples who like to have more than one partner. And Varun, tell us about that, and why did you think of this? I would have thought.
Can I first quickly address Mr. Farooqi here about something he said.
Sure.
Sir, what he said and what I agree and which is a fact is there was no
Rohit.
Mr. Rohit said there was no idea of marriage around 10,000 years ago. We were hunter gatherers, meaning we'd have tribes. Everybody would sleep with everybody, and every children.
Well, we can't go back to that.
Obviously, and multiple mothers. So there would be no concept of monogamy there. There would be polyamory over there, and I would like to talk about.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, this group that I'm learning, basically, I think right now we are in India, which has a foot very firmly stuck in the past, a foot very firmly planted in the future. And I can speak for myself and my counterparts. And in my forum, there are people aged from 55 to around 2021. All these people are married, unmarried, and they're seeking out other partners. Basically, they have sexual partners, which are not limited to one or two partners. These are open-ended relationships.
This is what Anita was talking about.
These are open-ended relationships, these are very respectful, loyal, translucent, transparent, and very, very well thought out of. There is no feelings of jealousy. There is no lying behind your back. There is no sense of losing yourself in the boundary of societal pressure.
But how did you even think of something like, I didn't realize we have so many of these forums in India, and you felt there was a need?
I've actually been questioning all the norms of society ever since I could kind of understand society. And then I came up with this then, and then at that point of time, a lot of people were also experimenting with the sexuality and with their relationships, and that's how I came up with that.
All right, so we're not saying it's for everybody, but let's face it, the landscape is changing of relationships. Yes, Rohit, I'd like to get you in here as somebody who also, has talked about
this.
This
is the key issue, that relation, that society is a dynamic thing. It is not static. A lot of people think of society as what was written at once upon a time, and therefore it should be for all time. I think any religion, any spirituality, any society is constantly evolving. There was a time, for example, that if a woman was had to be a virgin before she got married. Today it's no longer the case. Divorce was absolutely unacceptable. Today it is pretty normal, right? So we have to consider that society is going to constantly keep changing. Similarly, concepts like polyamory have been around for, I mean, if you look at it, Draupadi had 5 husbands, okay? It's been around for thousands of years. India has been one of the most evolved societies in the world. You will not find such an evolved society, such an open and free-thinking society that has existed. But it is we
right.
who do not understand.
Well, but even
Indian
now we have these Victorian era laws that we're discussing right now.
Laws.
In fact, Britain, right? The country which gave us this law, no longer even has it. So, well, on that note, we'll have to take a break. We'll return to this very interesting conversation and get some more views from the audience here.
Welcome back to We the People. We're discussing whether adultery should remain a crime. It's an issue that the Supreme Court is also has heard the PIL against, and we're expecting that verdict soon. They have reserved it for the moment. But let's just talk to some of the audience we have here on their opinion on this issue. And Faraz, I'd like to come to you. As you know, we're talking about husband and wife and very conventional relationships and families, but things are changing. And as somebody who's lived with a partner for 3 years, what is your opinion on this?
I'm glad that you raised this question, because right from the beginning, there's been a very conventional thing. What if a man sleeps with a woman, a woman sleeps with a man? I want to ask the people, what if a man sleeps with a man or a woman sleeps with another woman? How are you going to deal with that? I mean, you know, we need to, like everybody, most of the people on the panel said, and what people in the audience said as well, the society is changing, right? So we need to, relationships are changing, sexual orientations are changing, gender fluidity has to be taken into account, a lot of things, right? So it's we can't have the Victorian era laws over here anymore.
Absolutely. Let's get in this young voice here.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Ishta. My question is on legal grounds, that when to prove adultery, you need to enter someone's private space. So this is very contrary to right to privacy. Yeah. So yes. How can you...
Right, I think that's a point,
absolutely,
Madhu, you've been making.
77, the debate was brought up again.
Absolutely.
You just mentioned homosexuality. Actually, that's criminal, so we're not even allowed to talk about it. So you can't even, you can't even bring this into the picture, because it's criminal at this very moment.
And let's face it, these are all Victorian era laws
don't
even exist in
many countries. 377 has no
many
place.
Countries.
497 has no place.
Right, ma'am, you had a
time
point
for
to
change.
Make.
My name is Monica. I want to say that people who again and again fall into extramarital affairs, I feel there is a problem, because some of the researches also show that every extramarital affair lasts for 4 months. After 4 months, you want to leave that person and go to the other person.
From where have you got this?
Yeah.
Where have you got this? Are you married?
Yeah, I'm married. And
all right, is this your husband? Okay. All right, and is this something you've seen in your among your friends?
I'm a psychologist.
Oh, you work as a psychologist?
Yeah.
And you found that people...
Yes. They lose interest in the new partner, and they don't want to break their marriage. And they want to go back to their marriage, and they might fall for another person.
All right, very interesting. Doctor, you come in here?
That's why I said it, because most of the time I did the testing, psychometric testing, emotional instability. There are the issues, antisocial traits are there. So I think when you want to talk about the family sanity, we should then deal with the issues. What are the personality issues? Why not we can make a law that premarital counseling is required to get into the wedlock of a marriage? Why not we make a law for that? That every couple, like in church, it's happening that every couple, they have to go through the premarital counseling process. Why not for an Indian law, we can make it like every person should go through the premarital counseling process. Even most important, I would say, in spite of that, why can't we make a relationship a subject which a man or a woman or a child knows what to do, what not to do. The moral values should teach from the childhood.
I don't know if we can bring in more laws for this, but that's something I think culturally people could, perhaps go for more therapy and counseling, or be more aware of what they're getting into when they get married. Madhu, yes, final word.
So, I just think that the tone of the discussion, the way it's going, that whether or not we are for adultery and the morality behind it,
I don't think anybody said we're for adultery. I think everybody said why they feel it shouldn't be criminalized. They do think it's wrong.
I'm not sure why we should not be for it. We are for sexual autonomy. How the person decides, what the person decides to do with their life is their choice. So the word adultery itself comes from, has that archaic ring to it. Marital fidelity or sanctity of marriage is based on equal division of housework. Does anyone do it? Does that become a matter which is pathologized and analyzed by counselors? No.
So I feel there are many other issues and many other things we should be focusing on when we talk about marriages.
Equal division of economic and financial resources? No. So these are all issues that actually go to the foundational institution issues of any partnership. And if marriage is a kind of partnership, as we understand it to be today, then surely these are elements which the law must provide for in the civil law. And fidelity being one of them, but it all depends on the couple. fidelity may not be important to a particular couple.
All right, and, well, these.
And one of the things that Macaulay said, and rings true, that every morality is a very subjective issue. So
I think that's something we can all agree on. I think that is something
everything that is considered immoral by a large number of people does not necessarily become a criminal offense.
And at the end of it, it boils down to the law and what your constitutional rights are and your fundamental rights.
Absolutely.
And I think as privacy is one of our fundamental rights, this is something that I'm sure the justices are probably going to look at when they come out with their verdict finally.
If morality disturbed us so much, we should be asking ourselves why.
All right, Rinwadu, we're completely out of time. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming in. And thank you for
a
great audience here and lots of interesting opinions. Thanks so much for tuning in.